Alrighty, Nathan, welcome back. Well, welcome back to the Trade Raiders podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
We sure do.
How you doing today?
I'm doing good.
We're real tired. It's a late night ep.
Yep, I've been running around all fucking this whole fucking last week doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
I know, and I have not.
My best friend's getting married, and I'm a best man, and I've been doing stuff because of that.
Which I is just gotta make sure I'm there on time. You know?
Yeah, yeah, which is why we're recording late today, because I've been doing stuff. But I've had a couple beers, actually. I was just at a rehearsal dinner.
Nice, nice. So you're real sharp right now.
Yeah, very sharp.
Sharp as a tack.
The sharpest tool in the place that you put tools. That's what they call me.
In the arsenal.
Yeah, sure. But if this is your first time listening, we have all sorts of time codes that you can go back and forth and take a look at. If you don't care about the news this week, maybe you're listening a little bit later, and that's okay. You can skip straight to the book that we're reading this week, which is Silver Coin, or the back matter for that book, or the things that we were reading and enjoying and watching this week, which is in the pull list.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So all sorts of things. Thank you all for listening. This isn't the end of the podcast. I normally say thank you at the end. But, you know, I appreciate it if you're listening right now, too, in the beginning.
You know what? Stop talking. Let's get into the news, Nathan.
For sure. You know, lots of news.
Indeed, tons of news. Let's talk about not fandom things right now.
Oh, God. Okay, sure.
Chip Zdarsky coming out with a Batman book called the Batman the Knight.
That's pretty cool.
January 2022, a 10-issue series.
That's 10 issues.
10 issues.
Oh, man.
Pretty stoked for that.
That's like two less than Tom King.
I'm glad that he's like kind of like shoehorning his way into DC.
Yeah,
that's
really
awesome.
He's really slowly been like dipping his toes in the DC lately.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I did see that. That's very exciting. I am on a Substack, and he talked about it, but I haven't read that post yet because I've been busy. But yeah,
okay.
But yeah, he's very open about a lot of his projects, so I'm very excited about Newbern, the one that's coming out.
Yes.
The crime one. He's talked a lot about that, and it seems very exciting. So yeah.
Do you know when that's coming?
I think this year. I think in November.
Nice,
I wanna say.
Nice. Oh, yep, you're right.
Yep. Jeff Lemire posted something on Instagram. It was just a date, and he tagged Andrea Sorrentino, but there's something happening on
Halloween
this year.
Indeed.
Which, sweet. I always love him and Andrea Sorrentino together.
Yeah, doing tons
of
stuff.
They're one of the top like creative teams in comics, I feel like, right now.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe like, all time.
Maybe all time.
After A Life of Work, they're going to be pretty up there.
Green Arrow, Old Man Logan, Gideon Falls, some Batman, some Joker.
Exactly.
Really good stuff. So I'm excited to see what this is because they're the best.
Speaking of Jeff Lemire, I think he's bringing back Royal City.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about.
He posted Royal City, and that was like a maxi series. There's like 14 issues. It has a complete...
Really?
Yeah, it has a complete collection that you can get.
I thought it was longer.
No, that's what I thought too. But yeah, I guess he might be bringing it back because I don't know why you post an old book.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess we'll see.
I have some unfortunate news.
Oh no.
Why the Last Man will not be returning going forward with FX on Hulu for season 2.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, the showrunner of the show like really wants to obviously get it picked up, not because it's like her job or whatever. That's partly because of it, but like she made a couple of good points. She said, "We have learned that we will not be moving forward with FX on Hulu for season 2 of Why the Last Man. I've never in my life been more committed to a story, and there's so much left to tell. Why the Last Man is about gender, about how oppressive systems inform identity. We had a gender diverse team of brilliant artists led by women at almost every corner of our production. Producers, writers, directors, cinematographers, production design, costume design, stunt coordination, and more. It is more collaborative, creatively fulfilling, and a beautiful thing I've ever been a part of, and we don't want it to end." So she like went on and said like FX has been a great partner, but we've loved working with them, but we're sad that Why the Last Man's ending and stuff like that. So they really want it to be... At the end, she said, "We are committed to finding why it's next home." So hopefully some other production company will pick it up. Because just from what I've watched real quick, it's very engaging.
Yeah, super solid show. And so that was kind of like surprising to me.
Yeah, the season hasn't even ended yet.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you'll know.
But like, don't tell us until at least the season ends, right? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Because if it's like the most fucking insane like finale of all time, I feel like people will jump on.
Yeah, I don't know. Because, like, yeah, it's only been out for, what, like 6 weeks or something like that? I think that needs more like time for it to kind of brew, you know?
I think so.
And for like word of mouth to get around, especially when something ends.
Yeah.
Because like some people might recommend a show after they finish the ending.
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't recommend a show halfway through the season, especially with a show like Why Last Man. Like, it's really fun to explore the ideas like in the beginning, right, for Why Last Man. And I think that they do a really good job of like continuing that. But it's hard for someone to know if this is recommendable without finishing like this first season.
Yeah, because then if people are like, oh, I watched a couple episodes, I'll be like, dude, you got to finish it at least.
It could be like a Nacho series for some people. So maybe they're just like seeing it through to the end to know if it is a Nacho series or not.
I could see that with someone who's maybe doesn't have the kind of connection to it that we do. Mm-hmm. Like us knowing that it's a pretty long series and it's a great read.
Some good twists.
Yeah, because like maybe some people it's just like, the start of it would be like the big thing where everyone dies and that sort of thing.
And it's interesting to see how people still form government after all that and all that.
Yeah. So. At least like this thing wasn't like canceled and they were just like done. It's just like they separated from like FX. On Hulu.
Yeah. So. Which I mean, it's like kind of canceled, but at least they know that they could shop the property around a little bit.
Probably.
Which hopefully happens. I mean,
as long as everything else is the same, not just like where they premiere it, I think it'll still be like really good.
Because I mean, that happened with like Brooklyn Nine-Nine like a couple times, I think.
Yeah. That happened with Lucifer. And I'm pretty sure it's been like consistent. Supergirl went from like ABC to like the CW.
Did that start on ABC?
Yeah. It was like ABC or like
somewhere
Fox
other than
or
CW.
Something. Yeah, that's crazy. So, and they did the crossover still, but I think it just made more sense for the CW to do it.
Yeah, that does make more sense.
But anyway.
Crazy. There's a new animated movie of Super Sons in the works, and it's going to release in 2022.
Really? That's cool. That'd be fun.
I follow Jorge Jimenez on Instagram, and he's worked on that series. I think he like debuted it. I think he's like the debut artist or something.
For Super Sons?
Super Sons with John Kent and Damian Wayne.
I think that specific...
That lineup.
Lineup of Super Sons,
which is what it's going to be.
I think there's one before that.
Maybe. But I follow him and he's very excited about it. That dude's just like excited about everything.
I've never seen him upset.
Yeah.
He's the happiest guy.
In like some of the new Batman stuff that comes out, you could tell it's very reminiscent of some of his art. And he was like, fuck yeah, it's awesome to see. Whereas maybe some artists were like, maybe just like, you know, at least my name's in the, my name's in the credits. Maybe, yeah. But yeah, that dude's awesome. So yeah, Super Sons. Super fun series.
Pretty
exciting.
And
that gives us an excuse to read it when that animated movie comes out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Let's get into the elephant in the room, Nathan.
The dome in the room.
The dome in the room.
The big old dome in the room fandom.
Indeed. That was not actually in a dome.
No. Well, like last year, it was like, it looked like it was in a big dome because that was like the backdrop. It was just like an infinite void.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what it was this year. I didn't watch it at all because I was in Vegas.
Neither did I. I just like waited for other accounts to post stuff.
But it doesn't seem like it had as big of an impact as last year. But I think they had more to just reveal last year that kind of carried over into this year, you know?
Yeah, because like all the games are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, like, we knew about these.
They've been working on them. And like the Batman, we got the Batman trailer last fandom and now we got a better trailer.
I can't believe that was a year ago.
Isn't that insane?
Because I'm like, oh yeah, that was like 6 months ago or something like that.
Yeah.
Because like,
I think it's been a year, yeah.
I don't think I'm nearly as excited about this trailer as I was for the first one.
Oh, just, I like this one. Like, I think this one got me more excited for it.
Really? I don't know. It's just like, because when we had like nothing to go off of and then seeing what this is going to be like in the first trailer, I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I think I did have low expectations sort of going into it. And I saw a trailer and I'm like, this looks different and good.
And then they had the slowed down Nirvana song, but they used it the same one.
Which Nirvana song?
Something in the Way.
Oh.
Something in the Way.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He hums. It's really good. They also have like, Nirvana has like an Unplugged album that they did for MTV back in the day. That song's really good.
I remember listening to that one specifically.
Yeah.
they're good Unplugged. Well, if anything, they were plugged in because it recorded, right? So,
I don't want to talk about that. But anyway. So yeah, we got the Batman. Looks real cool.
Does look real cool. I like all of it, honestly. The Riddler. That's the perfect villain to sort of choose for.
Definitely.
Because like there hasn't been like a good Riddler like live action movie yet. So I mean, they haven't even really tried other than like Jim Carrey. But yeah, that's really good. And then the Penguin is also good, even though he's not short and stocky like Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
But he looks fucking good.
He does look like
what's
a
his
penguin.
Name?
Colin Farrell?
Colin Farrell? I would never have guessed that was Colin Farrell.
Absolutely not.
Like,
I can't wait to tell people, like,
that's Colin
you
Farrell.
Know who that is? They're like, I don't know. That's Colin Farrell.
One of the most attractive men.
Absolutely.
Dude, he's got a... They did great with his big fucking nose.
Yeah.
And he's very, like... Wah. He's very, like, Wario, you know? And I think it looks really good. Like, this is a version of the penguin I could get behind, and I could see, like, why they wanted to put the penguin in it.
Yeah.
Because normally when I see the penguin, I'm like, this guy's just, like, a fucking dumbass running around.
Uh-huh.
But, like, this guy...
It's going to be, like, a crime boss.
Yeah, he seems like a very, like, good crime boss that's just running around saying, wah, like, a bunch of
and
times.
And he's very, like, New York, which
yeah.
I kind of like.
Yeah, so I'm very excited for it. And, like, this version of Batman feels different because he seems like he knows what he's doing, like, at the same time.
Okay.
Because it feels like some of the other Batman, like Bale, has just been like, they were just like constantly getting beat up. But like, it was
yeah.
interesting to see at the same time. I guess Batfleck really knew what he was doing.
He was like old though, and I think that was like kind of weighing him down.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, but like something about this one, like he's very skilled with like his Batmobile, obviously, and like fighting people. And I'm just like interested to see like what that looks like in motion. Because like with this trailer, some that like car chase... The car chase looked really fucking cool.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're getting really creative with, like, cinematography and how they color it and all that stuff. So
I think that'll be, like, what wins me over for this movie is just, like, the delivery of it all.
It seems very creative, like, production-wise, you know?
Yeah.
Not just, like, character-wise, so.
The only thing that, like, caught me off guard was, like, the Riddler has, like, a mask. It's, like, a gas mask-looking thing.
Yeah. I mean, I can get behind it. I don't... There's some versions of, like, the Riddler that are pretty different, but, like, I can't see a bright green suit working in this sort of scenario.
Yeah, no, I wasn't thinking about that. It's just, like, I figured it'd just be a guy wearing
with his face
green.
Out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if he's trying to really protect his identity, like, a mask would be something to help with that,
mm-hmm.
and that becoming, like, a riddle on its own.
Do you think he made that latte art?
I don't know. Yeah, probably.
Or do you think he asked like Starbucks to be like, can you make like a question mark?
He was like at a bar though, or like a diner or something.
Yeah, true. He probably did it himself. How does he do the little dot? Did he just stick his finger in there? Or?
You can do that with like a Q-tip pretty well. Mm. I don't know if he had not a Q-tip, like a toothpick.
Toothpick? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. It's probably a toothpick guy.
But anyway,
looks
it looks
good.
Great. Around the corner. Was it like
March? Yeah.
I was like, oh, damn.
That's like less than 6 months away already?
I think... Based off this whole weekend, I don't think I'm really going to be excited about any of these until they're, like, a week away.
Sure,
because, like,
yeah.
We just get, like, a ton of trailers all the time. Tons of content all the time now. So, like...
I probably won't watch, like, another Batman trailer.
Like, last time I was, like, super excited about something was maybe, like, the first Justice League trailer. But then that was, like, a year and a half before the movie came out.
I was pretty excited for, like, Endgame, which is after Justice League, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. 2018?
Yeah.
Was it the same year?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Well, anyway, so yeah.
Yeah, seems pretty exciting.
Because, like, Shang-Chi, I'm like, all right, yeah, we're going to this next one. And then, like, it was the week of, I'm like, oh, this is going to be cool.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And the same thing with, like, Eternals. I'm like, I don't know what this is about, but it seems pretty cool. But now
yeah.
that we have, like, tickets for it, I'm like, this will be interesting to see how this goes.
I'm actually really stoked to see, like, how different it is
yeah.
from the rest of the MCU.
I'm just excited that I have no idea what the fuck it's about.
Right, which helps. Kind of like a Shang-Chi.
Yeah, which... I realize it's probably most moviegoers to comic book movies. They're like, I don't know what the fuck this is
right.
about.
Like, I haven't read any of this shit.
Yeah. But we have a pretty good idea going in, typically. So there's also, speaking of Batman, there was a The Flash trailer.
There was a The Flash trailer.
And there's another The Batman in there.
An additional The Batman.
He's got the big clunky armor like he does in Batman 89, Mr. Michael Keaton.
Dude, we didn't really see him, did we? It was just like... The silhouette.
A voiceover of it was like Michael Keaton's voice in the trailer.
Was it? Okay.
The teaser or whatever. And then we see like his big old ears and his big dumb cowl.
It's really weird how they like call that like a teaser because I'm like, that's a trailer.
That's a trailer. It was like
a minute or two.
Minute and a half. That's the full trailer.
They're like, no, that's not the trailer. You know?
Can't call like a
like
song.
Teaser is like 16 seconds in my
yeah.
mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like you can't like imagine making like a that's like saying that like a song being like a minute and a half is like. Part of a song or
like a
little
preview of it
yeah.
or something.
But yeah, it is like a full-on fucking trailer, it seemed like.
Remember on like iTunes how like before you bought a song
preview
you could preview, you press a little play
it
button.
It was like a full minute.
Yeah, it was like a full minute.
I'm like,
it wasn't,
I heard
wasn't
the
whole song though.
Yeah, but this is
I can't imagine getting more like learning more in a full trailer, because like they threw a lot out there already.
It's like, it's Flashpoint, there's another Flash, there's another
Batman.
Apparently Supergirl's in this too.
Wow.
Batman, yeah, there's a Batmobile, probably the Batman 89 Batmobile, and we know that is Flashpoint, so it's like, yeah, what else do we really need to know?
Let's talk about that suit though.
Looks pretty solid.
I do not like it.
Why not?
It looks like Play-Doh who's just like smeared on him almost. Like, it just does not look good to me. I think the CW suit is miles ahead of this.
No, because that one looks campy.
No, it looks cool. They have golden boots now, Nathan.
When he's I don't think that Barry Allen looks cool when he has his suit on.
Okay, then
one's like walking. He's not like walking down the street, and there's not like bitches throwing their panties at him, like, because he doesn't. Like, he looks kind of like dorky almost in that suit.
Okay, but then definitely the Snyder suit is better than this.
Yeah, like the Snyder suit, like, there's more like metal and there's more like structure to it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. He doesn't look like a Transformer, but like it just. I would even say the 90s costume looks better than this, except for the boots.
Maybe.
You just rewatch it. Look at like the cowl and like how it wraps around his face.
Yeah.
It just looks odd. Mm-hmm. It just looks bad in my opinion.
Yeah. But what about the glowy lights? You like the glowy lights?
Glowy lights are always cool.
I think the glowy lights work well in this scenario. He's got gold boots too.
The lightning was always like a bit much for when it came to the Snyder stuff, but I was still like, yeah, he's like the Flash though, so I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just interesting that they're starting with Flashpoint for this, but who knows what this will lead to in DC's future, because it seems like that's more...
I think this is their last shot.
But I think that, like, DC thinks of the Flash as a supporting character, which is why they feel the need to bring in Batman. But in my opinion, he's, like, a cool, like, quirky character. He's, like, a forensic analyst. He's got a lot going for him, you know?
He can absolutely work on his own, but I think in order to make the multiverse fun, other than being just more Flashes, they're like, how about a Batman? You know
but
what
like
I mean?
He's also got like a good rogues gallery too. Like, I feel like a Flashpoint should be something that takes a bit, but I think that this is like a course correcting for the universe, and we'll know more about.
That's what everyone's expecting. Yeah.
Yeah. So
we'll see.
Hopefully that Flash has his own movie that only affects him, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I'd like to see that.
I was thinking about this today. I don't know if Reverse Flash was introduced, if that would like really go well. Like, if I was explaining to mom,
he's in this movie.
If I was explaining to mom, like, oh, his villain is Reverse Flash, I don't think she'd be like intimidated by that. She'd be like, okay.
So does he run backwards?
Right.
Is he very slow?
She'd be like, okay. It's just like, yeah, I mean, it's just like a kind of a cop out name in a way. Yeah, like, he probably is.
Because, yeah, there's like another Flash there, and it's very clear that Flash is wearing like yellow and red, not red and yellow. There's a lot of hints to it.
So Eobard Thawne is like just him?
Maybe. Who knows?
Okay.
So anyway, what else? We saw some Black Adam.
We did. Yeah, that was like a teaser.
That's a teaser. Yeah.
Because he's just like in it. People shoot at him. He floats up.
We know it's real. It didn't feel real for the longest time.
Yeah, I'm like, is this some animated thing?
Yeah.
But it looks awesome.
No, it's The Rock. He looks good. I think that's going to be a really fucking cool movie.
Yeah, that'll be dope. I'm more excited about that, honestly.
Better The Rock news. Did you hear his rap that he came out with?
Oh my God. The most cringiest thing I've ever heard. And it's all over TikTok.
That's the best rap. It sounds like someone was forced to do a rap for a middle school project.
Yeah.
That's what
it sounds like. Someone just took clips of The Rock from a bunch of different movies and put it in a song with a beat behind it.
Yeah.
And then like all the shouting that does like half of it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, eh.
Yeah.
But like
he does.
Tech Nine is like getting the bag though.
True.
So he's like, yo, let's put someone who's never rapped on it, but like the most famous person in the world
The Rock
on my song.
Yeah.
And then he does it. I don't know. It's funny though.
But he looks good as Black Adam.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a really good character to put in live action because he's got a lot of interesting stuff going on.
Yeah, yeah. I always thought he was really cool. I'm just glad to see The Rock as a superhero finally.
Yeah, finally.
Because like he's the only one that's like built like that just all the time.
Yeah.
So it's about time.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been waiting for this for like 6 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
World War III. Wonder Woman 3 has been confirmed in the works.
Yep, Patty Jenkins.
First look at Blue Beetle.
I didn't see that, but I heard about it.
It's just like a picture. Looks good. Just picture Blue Beetle.
Jaime Reyes, right?
Yes.
Cool.
I think. We got some stills from DMZ. Do you know what that is?
What?
DMZ. It's like a Vertigo book or something. And it's going to have Rosario Dawson in it. It's like, it's just a book. I've seen it around. I've never read it, but apparently it's in production.
Oh, I don't know if I've seen that.
Google it on your phone while I continue to talk.
Okay.
We also got a Peacemaker trailer, and that is going to come out January 13th. So really fucking soon.
Sweet.
I don't know.
Wait, really? That's very soon.
Doesn't that seem so like fast?
Yeah, that's awesome though.
Because like it's like the end of October now, and I'm like, it's basically the end of the year.
Well, like it's a prequel, right?
I think it's a sequel. I think it's a sequel because like in the trailer,
the end of Suicide Squad sort of set that up, huh?
Yeah, because okay, like cool. Spoilers, but he in the after credits he was still alive, and then in the trailer he's in the hospital talking to somebody. He's like, I'm a superhero. And then they're like, what superhero are you? I'm like, I'm Peacemaker. He's like, there isn't a superhero called Peacemaker. and
that's funny.
So, yeah, that'd be cool.
I don't know if I've ever seen DMZ.
Really? I've seen it around. Is that Vertigo? It should be because it came out on Fandome.
Looks like it. So, yeah.
I don't know what it's about. I think it might be an acronym for something.
Did you see the Cam Newton part?
The Cam Newton part?
Yeah, remember Cam Newton? We saw that Cam Newton was going to be at in Fandome. You told me this.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what he did?
No.
So he's got a hat company called Mashika.
Yes, he does.
And he is making an official Superman hat. And it's a Mashika Superman hat collaboration. So he's making limited edition hats. And it's going to be a $750 hat. And it's commemorating
is
like
it blue?
Superman Clark Kent. And it looks like that.
Oh, man.
So it looks like total shit.
Yeah, that's tough.
For 700, it's like this blue fedora looking thing with like a red band, and there's like a stitch of like a Superman card on there. It looks fucking just awful.
That's what his hats look like. He wears like a lot of those.
So yeah, he like collaborated with DC, and he's like, let's make a fucking hat together, and then they just like came up with that.
They used to call him like Superman. Like in his prime.
Right.
And so that's kind of where that connects, which is kind of cool. Like the idea is cool, but the execution isn't necessarily there. The
execution looks childish. And
sure. I wish they would have done like a darker blue, like a Man of Steel blue.
Yeah. Like I just don't know.
Something you can wear.
I wonder how many people will invest $750 for a Superman fedora.
I don't know. There's some dumb shit that people buy.
True.
And it might have resale value because of the limited edition, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, maybe super fans of Superman.
You probably heard that someone bought the Superman like comic for like $1 million, and he's like, we can make a hat.
Yeah. I was Superman in 2015.
Yeah, let's make a hat.
Yeah. That's funny. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, I was like, why is Cam Newton going to be there?
That's why he was on there, just to drop his hat drop.
Hat drop.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Is there anything else?
I think that was...
Not much more on the games. There's like a story trailer for the Suicide Squad, but it's just like the Suicide Squad are killing an evil Justice League.
Yeah, which you kind of do. There's just like... I didn't even watch those because I was like, okay, I'm going to buy them.
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
Yeah, I think that's the gist of it.
Indeed. Should we get into the book this week, Nathan?
Let us get into the book this week.
What is it? Week three of Spooky Comics month?
Yeah, I think so. We read The Silver Coin by mainly Michael Walsh.
On art.
On art.
He also writes one issue.
In lettering. Who colored it? Michael Walsh and Tony Marie Griffin. But so Michael Walsh is like the main guy on art for all of the issues. And then the other writers on the issues are Chip Zdarsky, friend of the show, Kelly Thompson, Ed Brisson, Jeff Lemire. So this book is really interesting because it's like an anthology series kind of around a certain concept, but it keeps one consistent artist and has different writers.
Which is good.
Which is a really... really cool idea to me. Mm-hmm. Because these are all like different scenarios. They're each like essentially one shots with one through line. They're like horror one shots with like one through line of The Silver Coin, and
right.
And each of the writers, I assume, just like bring their own ideas to it and build that narrative.
Yeah, I think this is cool is because they didn't necessarily have to build on each other's stuff.
Yeah,
which is cool because like the most recent example of something like this is like the Commandy Challenge.
Yeah.
But that had different artists too.
Yeah, it did.
As well as different writers. So it's kind of jarring going from like one issue to the next, and it's a completely different art style.
Yeah, like different creative teams that have to deal with what the last creative team set them up for.
Right. And so that's what actually makes it like hard, because you just have to keep going with like no real outline except for the previous issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this was cool. I love anthologies.
Yeah.
They're so fun.
But what's also cool is that, like, typically the status quo is that a writer has, like, a series or, like, owns, like, the series, whatever. Like, they created the series and then has different artists, like, typically, like, throughout that series if, like, one artist can't keep up. But I think it's really cool idea to, like, keep one consistent, like, artistic vision and then tell different stories based off the other artists, the other writers. And he got some fucking, he got an all-star cast of writers, I feel like.
Absolutely.
Just, like, very, very versatile writers. Like, mm-hmm. Chip Zdarsky constantly, like, surprises me with how good he is in, like, every genre.
He's got a lot of range. Like, everything I've seen him do, I feel like, is a little bit different than other things. Because I kind of more point to some superhero thing or something that's, like, comedic.
Yeah.
But like it's something crazy. Like this definitely shows like he's got some horror chops if he wanted to get into something like that.
Yeah. I think that like it's crazy to see him do like the best like comedy book with like sex criminals and then jump to like making like some of the best Daredevil and then also doing like horror at the same like that's just crazy. But also in this is Kelly Thompson, who does tons of great stuff as well. Ed Brisson, Jeff Lemire. Of course, Jeff Lemire, because why not?
Yeah, I know.
He's doing 1.5 million books anyway, so...
Yeah, what's one more?
So, yeah, very, very cool concept, and I tried to get Michael Walsh on, but he's busy, so yeah, that's understandable.
Okay. At least he responded.
Yeah, yeah, at least he told me no.
we love a rejection more than being more than being ghosted.
Yeah, a good rejection is nice. So, yeah, we'll just get into it.
Yeah, first thing about this, the covers are, like, terrifying.
They're really,
like,
really
these
good.
Are, like, scary covers.
Yeah, they are.
To where you'd be like, oh, I'm not picking that up. It looks very scary.
That's going to scare me if I read this.
Yeah, it's going to give me nightmares.
Yeah, really. Yeah, very good horror book all around. But yeah, issue one, it kind of just revolves around this idea of like a band. And it's 1978. And the story focuses on like a local rock band playing in like a club. And the players are really feeling the music as they're playing. But they're playing in an empty club on the 7 p.m. slot. And they're getting... They're sort of getting outdone by disco bands, which is like super hot. That's like the trend at that moment. And the guitarist, Ryan, fucking hates disco.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm a really good fucking rock artist. Like, why are people listening to disco? This shit sucks.
I gotta get out of this town, man.
Yeah. he's definitely
that. We gotta make it as a rock yeah. band.
So later at Ryan's house, they're like digging through some of Ryan's mom's old stuff after leaving his dad. And one of the members finds this silver coin, which looks kind of strange. It's like not a traditional coin.
It's not a quarter or nothing.
Nuh-uh. So later, even after that, during like practice in the garage, Ryan needs a pick and he can't find one. So he ends up using the silver coin instead. And when using the silver coin to strum and play together, it creates the most beautiful sound that they've ever heard, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So... That's kind of the idea. Like, this silver coin is clearly, like, making an effect on him and, like, boosting their talent or whatever. But I'm pretty sure a coin is pretty common for, like, fucking up your strings, right?
Yeah, like, the metal on metal isn't really good.
It's kind normally of, like,
grindy. It's a very weak plastic you normally strum with.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have, like, some really, like, tough-ass, like, that picks that don't even bend.
Yeah.
But...
I feel like you need to have a good bend.
I'm pretty sure I fucked around and played with a quarter, and it... Sounds like a little bit more metallic.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, probably not great in the long run.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, if he's using this, I like how we see it like immediately affect like Ryan because he's like, oh my God, this is really good. But like we also throughout the story see his finger get like gradually like more fucked up because he's playing with like a quarter super hard.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not really sure how that happens. Like, because it seems like his finger gets fucked up on like the top of his finger. Mr. Guitarist guy right here.
Guitar 101 here. So I learned how to play like this, which is actually like incorrect.
Really?
So I play like that, you know. Gene Simmons used to play like that. And
that's where the devil horns came from, right?
Exactly, because he used those middle two fingers and his thumb holding it.
Seems reasonable.
How you're supposed to hold it, how they teach you, is like that.
Really?
With your finger and your thumb, so you're playing like this.
So if you're strumming, pick is kind of on like the side of your finger and like the bottom of your
hand. Kind of where that first knuckle is. So if you're like strumming kind of recklessly, your finger's going to hit the strings.
Interesting.
And so, I don't know.
So he's a real guitar player.
Not like me.
Yeah.
But
you're a fake one.
Exactly. And so no one's ever like corrected me as like an adult, you know?
Yeah.
People have tried to tell me like in high school, like that's like wrong. I'm like, okay, but I don't, but I've literally tried learning the other way, and it's just like,
I'm pretty sure when
it's
I used
like, to, it's like restarting.
I'm pretty sure when I used to play, I would do the same thing.
Same thing as me?
Yeah, but I think I would just pinch it between my index and thumb.
It's a little bit more comfortable. It's easier if you're trying to like pinch, like that thing that like Snoop Dogg does, where it's like, Slipknot.
Oh, Slipknot. They said Snoop Dogg.
No. Yeah, Snoop Dogg when he's playing metal.
He's a great guitarist.
But yeah, it can be easier when you're doing different like playing styles.
Interesting.
But
yeah, so the coin keeps fucking up his finger as he plays. So they figure out pretty quickly that it's the coin that's enhancing their sound. And the next thing they know, they're filling up the club that they play at because the music's like much better, clearly. And so Danny, the club owner, says that he wants to bring in his friend from like a big record label to listen in as like a favor to them. And so we see that get to Ryan's head a little bit. And there's also like a good scene where like Ryan's at home and he's just like practicing and playing. And Ryan's dad walks in on Ryan playing his guitar with the silver coin. And his dad notices and he's surprised to see it. And he's like, that was your mother's. I should try and give it back to her. But Ryan refuses. And like the dad like understands like that, like he doesn't want to give it up. So like there's kind of like a hint that like his dad knows what's going on here.
Yeah.
And so that's just like very interesting to me.
So Ryan's like, maybe his mom used it and got like enough luck to where like she could leave if she wanted,
or maybe
and then
she
just didn't
dead.
Need it anymore, or she's fucking dead. But
or no, because I think Ryan said that she like left. But yeah, it's unclear like what really happened there.
Yeah. So I don't know if like maybe his mom had like an obsession with it and like the dad really noticed. But yeah.
Something really good about this as well, like. I've said it before, I kind of hate, like, music in comics because it just never really lands with me.
Yeah, like lyrics and stuff.
But what I like about this is that there's hardly any lyrics, and when it is, it, like, really utilizes the lettering to kind of make it land.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the coloring when they play because it feels like a show where it's, like, consistently, like, one color. Like, in some scenes, it's, like, red when it seems like they're going, like, really hard. And then, like, in other shows, it's, like, super green. But it just, like, feels like there's a lot of energy there. So I really appreciate the coloring, like, specifically when they're playing.
Yeah, when, like, the disco band's on, it's, like, really bright and blue.
Yeah, it's very groovy. It's
very groovy like, yeah. Colors.
So the next gig the band plays, they played normally. And Ryan ends up getting, like, a conversation with the label guy. And the label guy says that they're good, but they're really only looking for disco like gigs right now, like disco guys. So Ryan's pissed off, but he eventually gives in and starts playing with the disco band, abandoning his other friends in the band because he's got to get out of this dumb town, you know?
Yeah, he's gonna make it.
Like, you don't get it. Like, I'm ready to be the best. I want to get out of this town.
Right.
That sort of deal. So Ryan gives in and he plays with the disco band, and the first gig he plays with them, he plays with the coin, except now everybody can't help but like keep dancing, and Ryan can't help but keep playing, and he plays to the point where his hand bleeds again, but he just keeps going, and his hand gets bloodier and bloodier, and eventually someone in the crowd, like, their cigarette hits the club floor and it starts to burn the whole place down, but people like can't stop dancing because of the music that's being played, and so
it's too good,
everything just like catches on fire, and clearly like it's kind of disturbing because you see people dancing, but you can see their faces like reacting to what's going on.
Yeah, there's panic there.
Yeah, like you see it in their faces that they're like, they don't know what the fuck is happening, but everything's like burning around them. And specifically Ryan is like on fire playing disco, which is pretty metal.
He sure is.
Yeah. So, and then it cuts to the aftermath, and there's like a fire investigation unit there, and we see one of the men find the silver coin amongst all the rubble, and that's how this issue ends.
Yeah, there's a bit where it's like the firefighters are like, there was no one near the door, there's nothing blocking the doors or anything like that.
No one was blocking the exits, no one tried to get out.
They just assumed everyone was like super high and like didn't notice or something.
Yeah, which is pretty dark.
Yeah.
But like, how do you explain something like that?
Right.
But I really love this last page, just because it's a splash page, but I really just like the background. Like, it seems like it's
watercolor,
like watercolor, like sort of dawn, but you see like Ryan's hand come out from the rubble and he's like still holding the silver coin, so it's just like, oh shit, someone else's life is gonna get fucked up from this.
Have you noticed the crow that's in every issue?
Yeah, there's like, there's a lot of really interesting recurring themes in these books, but like the crow is always kind of one of them, whether they kind of like interact in the story or not,
or if it's just like there.
Yeah, but there's always like one there in the background.
There's one that's like on top of like the house when they're practicing, and it says no, no, no.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, dude, I because this is the second time I'm reading this first issue.
Yeah,
and so like I was just like, what the fuck? Well. It talks.
That's really cool, actually.
And so
there's a couple different things that I noticed throughout this where I'm like, is that from the last issue?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really cool. Like they clearly had some of that in mind, or Michael Walsh kind of had some of that in mind. I'm just like really interested in how he like put all this together, because I assume he told everybody like,
you probably,
we need a crow in there. We need like the silver coin to do this to them. Just do whatever you want with that, you know?
I don't think he just like told them like, put a silver coin in there and then just like shoot him away or whatever. I'm sure there was like some collaboration on the writing.
I think, yeah. Obviously he's like, here's my idea for like all these issues.
Yeah.
But, like, do you have an idea that fits that kind of deal?
Yeah. And then just kind of worked in the things like the crow and whatnot.
Yeah. So that was the first one. That one was by Chip Zdarsky.
Indeed.
Leave it to Chip Zdarsky to make me like a comic that's about music, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think it lands really well for the most part.
Yeah. You're right. It does get kind of cheesy, kind of annoying when you see that sort of thing.
Like, it only works if it's like obviously a very popular song.
Yeah, but then yeah, because like, then you can kind of sing it in your head.
Yeah, but then you have to like license it, which is what we learned from Sex Criminals. So yeah, that's probably why it doesn't happen a whole lot.
Sure.
I'd be interested to read, like, Charles Soule did a book, like one of his first independent works is 27.
Okay.
And the concept is, I think if I remember correctly, that this guy can write 27 perfect songs. And you see it like change his life because he's like writing these songs that are getting really popular, but he only has 27. So he has to be like really careful with where he puts these songs in like his album and stuff.
Oh.
And you kind of see that like change his life.
Yeah.
Apparently, Charles Soule was like a musician as well as being a lawyer and a really good comic book writer. So fuck that guy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Is that a book or comic?
It's a comic.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
For some reason, he loves numbers in things.
Letter 44.
Because did I ever tell you about the Oracle year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because that's like a thing where this guy just happens to know like 100 things about the future. And everything about it is super random, but he kind of uses that to his advantage. Like he has like a blog and stuff like that. And then
sure,
a lot of like companies like kind of invest in his time in order to, you know, try and predict certain things because he knows what something for sure is going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's kind of reminds me of that, because I think it was just for like a year or something where he knew these things. It was just something only a year in advance. So it's 100 things, kind of like him having 27 songs that he can write.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah. So issue 2, this one was by Kelly Thompson. So this story centers around Fiona, who's like this little girl. And at the start of this book, she's watching slasher movies that are like set in the forest right before going to like a summer camp herself, which is a very smart idea.
Yeah.
And so when she gets to camp, she finds her cabin and is immediately outcast by some of the like teenage bitches that are in that cabin. Like they're their own group, and she kind of outcasts her. So these girls are like ruthless. Like they try to scare Fiona with stories of like a murderer in the forest killing girls and whatnot, and that killer like never got caught. So maybe he's still in the forest. But they also like give her hell all throughout like the camp activities. Like they're splashing her with the jet skis and all that sort of stuff.
They dumped like tie dye on her, man.
Yeah.
That shit stains your skin.
And they even cut off Fiona's like ponytail or like her hair while she's sleeping, which upsets her. And then she runs off into the forest. Mm-hmm. So like there's like a main bitch girl, right?
The Regina George, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. So Regina, like, there's like a page where they're like all sitting around a campfire and she's telling her about this like murderer. But this bitch had like a whole like 3-pronged essay and like is like knows so much about this murderer. She like cites her sources, basically. Like,
yeah,
it's just like funny to me that she knows this
much
about it.
She's like, my aunt was there a year before this happened, so she's basically there.
Yeah, she had sources. She like interviewed people.
As soon as I turned to this page, I'm like, ah, come on.
Yeah,
just because like it was like half the page, and a quarter of it of the entire page is basically just like writing.
Yeah,
like, what am I reading? A book over here
that was here a year ago that never got caught, but she only murdered girls and like shit like that.
Yeah,
but yeah, definitely the most fucked up things that these girls did was like cut her hair.
Like that's mean.
I like felt that shit because like especially like the build up to that like that page or like that panel itself. You just see like the snip lettering and then there's like little hairs. So like you don't know. It's not confirmed like what happened, but you can tell just like in that panel with like the snip and the scissors and those like little hairs that come off.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh no.
Yeah.
So very, very good presentation of that part. So yeah, she gets upset and she runs in the forest and she gets lost and stumbles upon a cabin. And inside she sees a bloody shrine that...
There's the crow again.
Yeah, there's a crow here.
And it says no.
Oh, does he say no?
Yeah, he's got a big ass speech bubble.
So like,
it's like no.
I would see that, but I would kind of like ignore it in a way because I'm like, that's weird. I don't know why that's there. Like, obviously, like obviously, it's creepy.
I don't think it's really had much of an impact. I think he'll probably expand on that more in like the new arc. But yeah. I just kind of noticed certain things.
Yeah. So she stumbles upon a cabin, and inside there's like this bloody shrine thing that includes a blade with a little particular silver coin inside the handle.
Yeah, it's like a machete.
Yeah, and like the coin has like an eye on it. And sometimes the coin like opens its eye and like looks at people, which is super weird.
Gross.
So when that happens, like the coin looks at her, there's like a shadowy figure that comes up behind her and like attacks Fiona. And
there's like a little tussle in this barn that you see from like, or in this cabin, like from outside the cabin.
Yeah.
You like, see like the silhouette through the mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
And what's then weird is like, it's like the same person, like the same shape.
Yeah, it looks like the same. It looks like Fiona in a silhouette in a way. So you're like, what's going on here? But yeah, there's like that shadowy figure that leaves the cabin eventually.
With the machete.
With the machete, yeah. And this like scene's really cool because when Fiona's like first getting attacked, it's almost like there's like a weird distortion with like the coloring that like there's like red and green like outlines that are like distorting what's happening. And it almost seems like it's demonstrating like a scene moving like a lot faster because it's distorted. So like this panel in particular,
yeah,
when she first gets like the machete like kind of thrown at her, I don't know, it just makes it look like things are moving really fast.
And like there's, it's almost like portraying like shock.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a really cool way to like show that. But back at the camp, we see like all the bitches that were making fun of Fiona, and they like get slasher murdered in like brutal ways.
Yeah,
like almost all of them.
Regina George gets like,
like one by one,
gets hacked in like the trap.
Yeah, and like it's just one by one until there's one more, basically. But there's one that I think is disgusting and just like creative in general. One gets stabbed through the back of the neck, and the blade goes out their mouth.
I saw it as like she was getting hit in like the side of her face, like the cheek. But that could be right too.
That's like a really creative way to do it. Like I don't think I've ever seen that ever in any like horror movie or whatever.
Anything. Yeah,
like no one's been like impaled that way from what I've seen. So
yeah, like decapitation, that's boring.
Yeah,
this is cool.
This is fucking crazy. So yeah, like all of the bitches get killed, and the killer reveals herself, and it looks like Fiona, but with like facial skin of like another person over her own face.
It's like kind of looks like a leather face. Or maybe like Zack's or Scott Snyder's Joker.
Yeah, I immediately thought of Scott Snyder's Joker in this. So it's like, what's going on here? But she slashes the last girl repeatedly. Like
that's the camp counselor.
Like, is that who that is?
Yes,
it's kind of hard to tell. But yeah, that seems right. What do you call it when you're like repeatedly hitting someone with an axe?
Chopping?
Chopping. That's the word. I couldn't think of it. So yeah, this slasher person is repeatedly chopping the camp counselor just repeatedly until the silver coin like pops out of the handle. And when that happens, it breaks the trance that it has on Fiona.
Good word.
And it like, she like takes off the skin mask, which is fucking gross.
Yeah.
But it like makes her realize what she's done. And she's like, oh fuck, this is probably not good. And then the silver coin just like Chef Boyardee's and like, like just like rolls away.
It fucking Red Bull commercials all the way down to this log.
Like the silver coin like rolls away, jumps on a log, and then it like goes into the next issue. But like it just reminded me of the Chef Boyardee commercials.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
can we get Chef Boyardee? Like, no, not this time. She's like, fine. But I love Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, that one.
Like that is theft.
Yeah.
Why did the alarm not go off?
But like, it's just funny. It's like a full page of like the coin rolling and like bouncing off of shit, and it lands on a log and goes through like a lake. And I'm like, okay, come on.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah, it was really good.
This was my favorite issue.
Yeah, this one's a really strong one. I haven't even thought about what my favorite one is.
When it comes to, like, multiple people writing different issues about, like, the same kind of concept, I just can't help but compare them. I thought they were all, like, really different, which I appreciate.
Yeah,
I don't know if they saw each other's work and kind of worked off of that.
Mm.
But because of how different they are, I think, like, they just all had completely different ideas and didn't feel like they had to work off of each other. But I did like this one the most because it felt the most horror.
Yeah.
And I love a good slasher. And so I like that a lot.
Yeah, I like it too. And I think that it's, like, just creative in the way that it slashes people as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's the most... There's definitely, like, something in each issue where I'm like, that's fucking crazy. Like, that's a crazy idea.
Yeah.
But in this one... There's just, like, really good coloring with it because, like, some of them get killed and they're, like, some of the paint that they, like, were previously, like, throwing on Fiona is, like, now on their dead bodies and stuff. Mm. And it's, like, I don't know. It's, like, crazy things like that. And I really like this reveal of, like, Fiona being, like, the murderer because before we just saw, like, a silhouette. But then it's, like, revealed that there's skin, like, somebody's skin over, like, her face. And I don't know. There's just, like, really good storytelling all throughout this issue.
Yeah, so I guess it leads the question of, like, who attacked her and was that just some sort of, like, ghost thingy?
Did Fiona win?
Maybe it was, like, the ghost thing attacked her and, like, kind of took over her body because she didn't grab the machete thing.
Yeah.
Because it seems like you need to have the coin in order for it to...
have an effect.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
Good stuff. So, issue 3. So, this one's in, like, a cold winter... In 1986, there's three goons that break into some old dude's house to rob him. But when they go to, like, tie him up, he, like, very quickly dies, just, like, out of a heart attack or whatever. And so the three goons figured that the job got even easier now until one of the goons, Lisa, hears a voice come from the body. And it's saying, like, Lisa, it does not belong to you. But like, in, like, a long moany way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Lisa, kind of deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So they all just kind of, like, pass it off. It was like, maybe that was, like, a death rattle kind of deal. And so they rob the place. And as they leave, one of the guys burns the house down so the police would think that it was, like, an accidental fire. I really like the goon. Like, the three main characters, I really like that they have, like, a punk rock drip kind of going. Like, they have, like, the leather jackets and, like, they look very punk rock.
Yeah, this one dude's got, like, a denim jacket. That's pretty thug.
Yeah. And so I also really,
maybe
really...
it's like the 80s style or something like that.
Yeah.
Because this is based in 86.
Yeah, yeah.
For context. Style.
And, like, I really... There's a splash page when they burn the dude's house down. And there's something about, like... There's something dope about seeing, like, a fire in some snow, you know? That is just, like, really satisfying to me. Like, in any medium. And, like,
yeah.
If it's, like, in a movie, like, seeing a fire in, like, a snowstorm, that's fucking cool, you know?
I haven't seen Die Hard, but I feel like that something like that would be in Die Hard.
Like, it's just two polar opposites, and I just love that shit.
Yeah.
And in here, I feel like snow always looks really cool in comics because it's just, like, really easy to make, probably.
Yeah, that's why, like, Frostbite was really cool, and that's why that Snow Angels is really cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's, like, creepy, and you just, like, don't know what's out there.
But one of the things that I think is maybe tying it back to other issues is that this guy that died, they say that that guy was like a retired firefighter, which makes me think that he may be the one that grabs the coin at the end of like the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first issue was set in like the 70s and this one's in the 80s. And this guy also has a mustache, just like the firefighter that picked up the silver coin.
I think them just both being firefighters is like enough of a connection.
Yeah, but he also has a mustache, Daniel.
But the mustache, that confirms it.
I mean, I'm sure most firefighters have mustaches.
Honestly, didn't even think that much about...
I didn't either.
How they were like connected and how like linear it was, like the trip of the silver coin.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that doesn't matter because like one of these is like super far in the future.
Yeah.
And so, and even, like, new issues might be, like, in between here. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, with the first issue, I was like, okay, the next issue is going to be about the firefighter that picked it up. But it wasn't. So, but I think that they, like, create contextual clues like this a lot in this book, actually. So, anyway, as they are, like, escaping the scene, they get some cops, like, on their tail. And there's, like, a whole car chase that happens. Lisa looks down at the coin that she has. I don't know when she picked it up. We don't really, like, see her pick it up anywhere. I
imagine she just got it at the house.
But she looks at the coin, which looks back at her, because it's a fucking weird coin with an eye. And Lisa...
Which no one is alarmed by.
Yeah, no one's, like, This fucking coin has an eye.
When that dude was strumming, his thumb was just on the eyeball, which bothers me.
I wonder if it's squishy at all. Like,
I don't even like getting like a fucking eyelash out of my eye.
No.
Let alone like putting a thumb on it.
That's gross. So when she looks at the coin, Lisa like tells the driver to take a sharp left to lose the cops. And this is like uncharted territory for the driver. But a crow slams into the windshield and causes like a car crash. And it kills the driver and leaves the other guy super bloody. But Lisa gets up, takes a glass shard out of her own arm, and uses it to kill the other guy that like had survived. And like the whole time she's like apologizing to him.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's pretty metal to like get up from a car crash, take out a glass shard from your arm, and then slit the other guy's throat with it.
Yeah, some John Wick shit right
there. That's like just insane. And like you could see it in her eyes too, that she's like scared but like not in control. Like there's a lot of emotion just in like a couple different panels that like clearly she's, this isn't normal, you know, sums up.
The panel of like the driver after the crash looks so fucked
fucking
up.
Fucking brutal.
I'm like, I don't think he's alive.
That guy.
I'm like, he might be. His eyes are open.
That guy got mushed.
Oh, yeah, dude. He got scrambled.
Yeah. Like, it looks like his eye is loose and just in like a puddle of like the rest of his head.
He doesn't even look like he's completely in the car.
No.
And he's like hanging out of it. So I'm like, that can't end well.
Yeah, it was a pretty brutal car crash.
But anyway.
But the cops are still after Lisa, though. So Lisa runs into like the snowy woods, and there are like these dark figures that show up saying they cannot enter, but also like kind of moany.
These look just like the witches from Witches.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, there's witches in this. That's
the
cool.
Witches.
Yeah, yeah. Witches with a Y.
So, yeah, these things like show up all around her, and they say they cannot enter, referring to the cops that are following her. So Lisa bludgeons one cop with a rock, like a big rock, and bites out the throat of the other cop.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking metal.
And then, like, just continues walking.
Dude, and then she, like, chews up, like, his throat or something.
Yeah.
Like, his esophagus, or I don't know.
Yeah, she, like, goes for the esophagus, but, like, and, like, that's weird enough, right? But what really gets me is that she just holds, like, some of the neck flesh in her mouth as she keeps walking.
I love how they put the chew noises. I'm like, oh, if only they put, like, the chew logo on
I know,
here.
Yeah,
it's so
yeah.
fucking funny.
There's lettering that just says chew as
chew,
right
chew,
after
chew.
Right after the neck eating. But yeah, she just like holds some flesh in her mouth as she like continues walking, and I'm like, that's just gross.
It's a snack. You
know, spit it out.
It's a long walk.
Yeah. So she shows up to a shed that is very clearly one from previous issues, the one
right.
that Fiona went into. And she returns the coin to a sort of silhouetted figure with a sweet hat who we figure out who that is later.
He's got a cane or something. Maybe.
You don't know who that is?
Yeah, I know who it is. But...
Okay, yeah. So yeah, this silhouetted figure with a sweet hat, and once Lisa gives him the coin, she immediately begins to like snap out of it and realize what just happened. But as soon as she does, the figure like snaps his fingers, and Lisa just bursts into flames.
Mm-hmm.
And she just dies. And that's how that one ended.
Yeah,
so
man.
That one was by Ed Brisson.
Yeah, I love Ed Brisson.
Yeah, he's great.
He's got an excellent slice of life book called The Violent. Which,
he's got a book with Michael Walsh I just discovered. It's in the back matter of this book. It was like plugged.
Oh, Vinyl?
No.
Let me see here.
I forget what it was called.
No, that's something else.
Here, let me it's jump to the back matter. It's called Comeback.
The Sleep Stories?
Nope. It's called Comeback. And that's also a trade paperback.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So
I did not know that.
Yeah. So like we're starting to see like a couple of the themes come up.
I was hoping the coin would have like a little bit more like kind of powers in this one. I mean, I guess they all kind of like affect the people differently.
Yeah.
But I was hoping that like they're going to be able to like get away from the cops almost because this coin is just giving directions.
Yeah, true.
But
that'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it just told them to turn right and that was like it.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't that advantageous.
And then they crashed. But I think like the crow obviously caused that like car crash to happen. So I think that it does like have sort of an environmental effect in a
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Because the crow seems to be, like, near it at most times.
The crow seems to be fucking with the coin a little bit.
Right. I don't think the crow is in... Oh, yeah, it was. Never mind.
So, issue 4. So, this one's, like, the weirdest one, obviously.
Yeah, it's definitely
it takes place
out there.
In 2467.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
It's right around the corner.
Yeah, it'd come up quick.
But it's, like, a future story. So, there's, like, a futuristic city that is like walled off from the outside world, and the outside world seems like a more like a wasteland kind of deal. And it, the story is focused around three gangsters, and like future gangsters. I don't know what to really call them, but they knock out some guy so that the girl named Braggy can like she can like establish a sort of connection to like his financial information through these electronic worms that come out of her eye.
Yeah, and then it connects to her eye, or to the dude's eye.
Yeah.
And then she has access to, like, his accounts.
Yeah, that's how, like, she connects with them and, yeah, can basically
steal his money.
I
like that concept, though.
I like it a lot, yeah. She, like, has to take off her eye and it, like, reveals worms, and I'm like, this is some crazy future shit.
I was like, I don't know if that's, like, a good word for that, but...
She calls them worms.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, they're just, like, these... I don't know.
I think I almost would expect like a little USB to come out.
Just plugs it in.
Yeah.
And she like can't figure out which way it goes. She has to like turn it around.
It's like, shit, we're running out of time.
Yeah. But unfortunately for them, there's a police drone that's like on the way and sees, you know, them doing whatever. But right off the bat, like I'm really impressed with like Michael Walsh's range in being able to go from like scary story in the woods to like scary story in the future.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a ton of, like, original designs, like, with these three gangsters and stuff. So it's, like really cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't... How often do you see a book go from, like...
Never, Nathan.
In the woods and into the future? Yeah, it's just impressive. So... But anyway, so... Braggy completes her transfer with her eye worms.
She only got 46 units.
Yeah. Which doesn't seem like a lot.
For all that trouble.
Like, I don't know what the inflation looks like, you know, going to 2,467.
And then also, like, the... You know, the conversion rate from U.S. dollars to units.
Surely there's like, yeah, this is a different currency.
Maybe that's like Ethereum.
Yeah, maybe it's like
46
Bitcoin.
Ethereum is like a ton. Yeah, so maybe it's like, a lot. Yeah. If they're on the Outlands or the Outlands or whatever.
Yeah.
It's probably not a ton of money.
Yeah. Maybe all currency in the future is just cryptocurrency. So 46 might be pretty solid.
That's how it should be, Nathan.
Yeah, exactly. No government oversight or whatever.
Yeah, all encrypted money. We love it.
Yeah, so anyway, there's a police drone that's chasing after them. So they get on their, like, future motorcycles and drive off. Well, the motorcycles are, like, there in the present, but they're futuristic to us.
Right.
So there's, like, a cop that's piloting the drone, and he's approved to use lethal force. So he starts shooting at them from this drone, which causes Braggy's two friends to be killed. One's, like, shot through the head, and the other one, like, gets tripped up on a rock and flies forward and dies. So Braggy's AI in her head leads her to like a ravine that she's forced to jump down into to like try and escape. But I really like this idea for like the cops that use like virtual reality like headsets to pilot and like shoot drones. That seems like it'd be a fun job.
Oh yeah, that'd be sick.
Yeah. So Braggy like falls into like this little lake or something that's at the bottom of this ravine. But when she gets up, she sees an ancient town, which is basically like our present. You know,
yeah, it's very Futurama.
They're like normal buildings for us, but yeah, very Futurama concepts.
Yeah, where like Leela's parents live.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
remember?
I forgot about that. Because I was wondering how that works for them.
They just build on top of it.
Can you just do that? Can you just like let's just cover the whole Earth and just live on top of it?
I feel like Tokyo's like already done that.
Maybe, yeah.
But anyway,
but yeah, you're right. That's from Futurama. That's funny. So yeah, she's there. In like this ancient town, and there's like a crow that alerts her of the drone that like has followed her basically. So mm-hmm. Braggy runs off into like a separate building, and inside the building is a skeleton on a throne of some sort of shit, and it's got the silver coin in his hand. So Braggy grabs the coin, and as soon as she does, we see like these shadowy figures come up again, but the drone is like still coming after her. So Braggy throws a staff at the drone to, like, knock it down. And then she uses her, like, Neuralink eye worms again on the drone, which somehow, like, affects the cop.
Yeah.
I don't know how this all works. It's in the future, so I don't understand it. But, like, when she connects her eye worms to the drone, the cop's like, oh, no. Like, ah, oh, fuck. Kind of deal.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know what happens. But the cop's name is Dudley, by the way.
It's like any kind of network.
I guess it's just like she can drone, shoot ransomware maybe like through the drone into the cop's headset maybe. Well,
they're not using them as like ransom though. Maybe some malware.
Malware, sure. Oh yeah, ransomware is
so
different.
When she picks up the coin, like her like head computer thing says like virus detected like a bunch of times.
It could tell it some shit's up.
But she still like hangs on to it.
Yeah. So now Dudley, which is the cop, seems to be possessed in some way, and he like walks through the police station out into the street where he kneels down, and then he lets Braggy like rip off his visor and basically kill him. But we also see like the dark shadowy figures like around her as well.
Yeah, he's like got this cool little cyclops looking visor.
Yeah.
And I guess it's like biomechanically installed and is basically his eyes, because when she rips it out, he doesn't have eyes.
Yeah.
So
is he just destined to do that job from now on then? I don't know how this works.
Maybe.
But yeah, lots of interesting questions. I like the moment where she actually like rips off that visor, because like the coloring's all red and it's just a very big black moment. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty brutal.
So like this world is interesting, but I feel like I feel like the coin in this story doesn't really have the same effect on the carrier of the coin as like the others.
Yeah.
Because like the other people, they go crazy and like kill people, but they eventually get killed themselves. But like Braggy didn't die here, you know?
The thing with these books is that they only have, you know, the 20-ish issues or pages or whatever to tell like the story. So it's very open-ended to where like she could very well die after this point.
Yeah, I assume she does.
So I don't know if there's like a future cabin in there somewhere.
Yeah, maybe.
But like she could potentially take it there, like how we did in the last issue and stuff like that. So
yeah. So issue 5, this is the last one. That last one was by Jeff Lemire. This one is just Michael Walsh writing in and drawing this, which is a cool way to end off the trade, I feel like.
I think that's smart, yeah.
Yeah. So this story focuses on two people, and it's set in like Western times. It's about Rebecca, who's like a local doctor slash healer person in this town. And then we have Cotton Dudley, a cowboy dude slash preacher.
So is he like related to the future Dudley?
That's what I don't know. So like it's obviously maybe not a coincidence thing that there's two people named Dudley.
It's a pretty common name, actually.
Do you know many Dudleys?
Dude, I know like 5 Dudleys.
Yeah, Dudley's my boy.
Yeah, dude. You know Dudley.
So like, I don't know. Like, how does that connect?
I think it's like a generational like hunter kind of thing.
Maybe. I don't perhaps know. But anyway, like Rebecca leaves. She's like in a home trying to help deliver a baby or something, and it doesn't work out, I guess. So she like leaves a house, and she's approached by another woman named Martha, begging her to help her with her goat.
Yep, got it. You're on a roll.
So Rebecca like looks at the goat and sees like a little wart on its eye, and she's like using traditional like vet methods to like help this goat, until Martha convinces her to use a ward on the goat to keep away sickness. So Rebecca then cuts her own hand and draws like a hex looking shape on the goat's forehead.
It's like a pentagram looking thing.
Yeah. So like at first I thought Rebecca was just like an honest nurse, like just doing her best.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she's like doing hexes on
she
goats.
Cuts her hand for blood.
Yeah, cuts her hand, her own hand.
I'm like, oh man. Like,
it was really cool and like shocking reveal, I feel like. Because we didn't see that right out the get go. We just saw it when she's using it on this goat.
I'm like, that's how vets work. That's
so
weird.
Does she do this like everybody? Is she cutting her hands all the time? Like what's going on
yeah,
here?
Yeah, I was like, how many cuts you got on that hand?
Doesn't seem like too many.
Yeah.
Can she cut other places?
So
can
I don't
she,
know.
Can she cut her big toe if she wants?
That would suck. You got to walk around on that all day.
Yeah, true. Can she cut her elbow?
That's tough skin. That'd be hard.
Yeah, true, true. Loose as well. Palm is probably the best spot for her, yeah. But yeah, it's just immediately, you know, like she's not a normal nurse. But we also see Cotton Dudley, the cowboy preacher dude, walk into the first house to like investigate what's been going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this Cotton Dudley is very clearly the guy we saw in like a couple issues ago. Like yeah. We saw like a silhouetted figure. Like, I don't know how that all connects either.
Yeah, because this is like olden Western kind of times.
Yeah.
Maybe even early, like definitely like 1800s.
And then the story where we saw his silhouette was in like the 1880s. 80s. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe he's like immortal?
Maybe he's just like stuck in that house for forever? Who knows?
I guess we'll see.
But so Rebecca leaves the goat place and goes home to like her shed, which is very clearly the shed we see in other issues. And meanwhile, Dudley catches up with Martha to ask her about the goat healing. And he's clearly all about like the Lord and shit. He's telling her about the Lord, but knows that Martha recruited Rebecca to have Martha's husband killed through like Rebecca's ways. So Dudley bribes Martha with a silver coin to get answers about Rebecca working with the devil. So at first, like, I don't know if you noticed this, but I could have sworn that there was something going on with, like, Dudley's left eye. Because this whole time, like, every panel, it seems almost deliberate that they're trying to, like, hide it. So I was, like, kind of calling it as I was going through this, like, this issue. But nothing really comes from it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I see what you mean. I didn't think that because it just didn't seem that apparent to me, I guess.
I think Michael Walsh probably just gets, like, inspiration from, like, some anime shit or, like, manga shit. Because it seems like they would do that.
Yeah, I think it's mediums. Just kind of, like, lighting to make it creepier.
It is so very
creepy.
So that
it's not just, like, both of his eyes.
But for a while there, it seemed pretty deliberate. Like, left eye, don't show that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought I was on to something, but I was just thinking too much. But Dudley, you know, finds out about Rebecca working with the devil or something, and she hypes up the town and gets them to chase after Rebecca for having familiarity with the devil. So Rebecca gets caught, and she's about to be hung. But she sees the coin that bribed Martha to, like, ratting her out, basically. And with her final words, Rebecca puts, like, a hex on the coin, and then she's hung. So there's, like, a... I feel like there's... In this issue, there's just, like, a lot of closure in just a few panels as to, like, what's been going on this whole series. And it's very satisfying.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, okay, that coin, the one that basically got her killed, she put a hex on to, like, bring horrors to whoever the holder is.
Right.
And I'm like, that's fucking cool.
And so now we're like, that's the big deal.
So that's why this coin, you know, is fucking up people's lives.
What's cool is, like, some books will just, like, go on and you don't know what's really happening until, like, the end.
Yeah.
So here it's like, oh, the first arc, here's what this is. And then he's already said, like, this will continue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, super cool.
Yeah. I also like just that moment when Rebecca's, like, hung, like, her,
oh, yeah,
her dress is very, yeah, I really like that.
You like when people get hung?
I like when women specifically get hung. But no, like, her dress is, like, very flowy, and it's, like, very dramatic, you know?
Yeah.
It's very,
it does look really cool.
It's a very impressive panel.
So, and she's just not just, like, hanging straight down, she's, like, kind of swinging.
Yeah, it's, like, very flowy. Like, you could tell that there's movement in this panel.
Like, so. Like, it just happened,
yeah.
Or, like, it's really windy or something.
Mm-hmm. So,
Later.
Martha goes home and she finds her goat that was healed earlier, but it's, like, mutating and it's got, like, blood at the mouth, and the goat bites Martha.
It's got, like, 8 eyes.
Yeah, which is a few more than normal.
Right.
I'm not a veterinarian.
And it said Judas.
What?
Judas.
Oh my God, no. It does. Why does it say that?
I don't know.
So yeah, the goat bites Martha, and then overnight she's noticing, like, her own hand mutating. Like,
very lumpy,
getting bubbly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning, she's completely mutated and, like, just totally disgusting. And she tries to give the coin back to Dudley, but her goat, like, impales her with, like, a broken horn, and it kills Martha.
She kind of looks like Polka Dot Man before he needs to, like, splooge or whatever.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah, when he's getting real horned up, you know.
Yeah, when he gets real backed up.
Yeah, when he's edging. Yeah, so yeah. She's very bubbly like that, but not colorful, just disgusting.
Right.
On all accounts.
And the goat gets worse. He gets lumpy too.
Yep. More bloody as it goes on too. So yeah, the goat with, like, a broken horn kills her, which seems like a very painful way to die.
Oh yeah.
But
Dudley comes to the house and he finds the coin and takes it.
Yeah, Dudley finds Martha dead. He, like, blames the devil. And then takes the coin as, like, a cash grab and leaves. But it's funny to me how Dudley just plays it off and he's like, the Lord works in mysterious ways. As if, like, seeing a bubbly person is, like, not that weird. You know?
She must have had it coming, you know. Can't hide from the Lord.
That's the Lord, you know. It must have been her time. So as Dudley is, like, leaving town, he's booted off of his startled horse. And we see that there's, like, these demon things, like, approaching him in the forest. So Dudley runs off and he's, like, calling to the Lord or whatever until he makes it back to his horse. But the horse kicks him straight in the face and it kills Dudley, and it causes all of his money to fly out, including the silver coin, which continues its journey, bringing horrors to whoever finds it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it here, like, go a couple decades in the future, and there's, like, a little kid that picks it up. But getting straight decked in the face by a horse with, like, a kick.
Dude, just, I don't even like getting, like, accidentally hit in the nose.
No.
But can you imagine, like, a fucking horseshoe and at full kick.
Unbelievable amounts of force in your face. Like, that's always like a fear of mine in the back of my head when I'm near a horse.
Dude, I used to clean horse stalls. That shit was terrifying.
Yeah, you don't want to get kicked, you know? So yeah, what a way to go. Right? So like, I guess that doesn't really explain why Dudley is like that silhouette in like the house, but maybe we find out later. I don't know.
The PSI of a horse kick.
That's pressure. What does PSI mean again?
It's like a pound, second, something.
Yeah, it's like a measurement of force or pressure or something, but like 2,000
pound per square inch.
Okay, like 2,000
PSI for it. Yeah,
is it 2,000?
It's 2,000.
Nice. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, dude. And then
that'll kill a man
at an average speed of 200 miles per hour. Can you imagine anything just hitting you in the face at 200 miles per hour?
I can't even run 200 miles per hour.
People get hit with like baseballs, and that's only like 97.
Yeah.
So twice that.
My gosh.
Death.
We should put horses in baseball.
I had like half a thought. I'm like, oh, he's gonna get up, you know?
Yeah.
Shut up. I was like, oh, he could be okay here.
Yeah.
But no, he's not okay at all.
If you see his face like right after that.
Mangled.
Fucked up.
So fucked up. That's really like cool.
But yeah. Like, I like that issue a lot. Like, normally I'm not super crazy about like demon stories and whatever, but this one gives readers like tons of context as to like what you've been reading this whole time, but it also leaves me with like wanting more. So originally this was supposed to be the end of like Silver Coin, but it was so popular that they were able to make it into like an ongoing series, which is cool.
Yeah, that's dope. Especially something that's so like experimental.
Yeah, like this is not a common format for a book. So it's cool seeing that it got some legs, you know?
Yeah, so the next writers are going to be Joshua Williamson, Ram V, Vita Ayala, and Matt Rosenberg.
Yeah, I was like, Matt Rosenberg, I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Very cool.
Another list of superstar writers. Exactly. I hope it continues forever.
How does this guy do it? That's crazy.
How does he do it?
He's got some of the biggest writers in the industry. So
he's got a lot of pull, you know?
So with that, we're going to go into some Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
And you've been reading individual issues, which is cheating.
Yeah, I know. Can I just see yours?
Yeah. It's basically just variants. And I think you have a lot of the variants, actually.
Yeah, I always try to get like the normal ones personally, but
the normal covers.
Yeah.
So walk me through them. I just took a look at them. But what was that first one? I think that's the cover I have for the first one, actually.
Who is this by? Tua Lote.
Yeah, Tua Lote. She's one of the ones doing a book with Scott Snyder.
Oh, cool.
For Scott Tober.
Oh man, this Maria Nguyen one is terrifying.
Yeah, that one's very scary. That's very like anime horror or manga horror as well.
Yeah, definitely. I have this one by Anand something.
Here we go.
Oh, it's Christian Ward. I have the Christian Ward one too.
I didn't even know there's a Christian Ward one.
Yeah, this one.
What issue? That was the futuristic one, right?
Yeah, number four.
Yeah, I wish I would have known. I would have picked it up.
Yeah, these are all pretty killer.
Yeah, like really good variant covers for
and
sure.
Then just kind of like advertisements for other things that those people have done.
Yeah, there's like plugs for the books for the writers, basically. So there's like the Stillwater from Chip Zdarsky and stuff like that.
Eating Falls, The Violent.
Yeah.
Comeback.
But yeah, Comeback. It was Ed Brisson and Michael Walsh. So I didn't know that they had worked together.
Very interesting. Previously. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't read a ton of Ed Brisson stuff on the Big Two. So I just imagine like his chops are in like creator own stuff.
Lots of crime.
Right. Crime shit's awesome.
Yeah, it is great.
He does a good job with that.
So, yeah.
So what would you rate this, Nathan?
Dude, this is... I love this a lot. This, like, is a really cool concept. Very unique. So I think with that, I'm trying to think of, like, a unique thing to compare it to food-wise.
I mean, you can just keep going with, like, Cold Stone or if you want to do something else.
I think this is a Trenta pumpkin spice for me.
Wow, that's a lot of pumpkin spice.
Yeah, but it's very spooky, and it's like, it's unique. Pumpkin spice isn't that unique, huh?
Yeah, it's very basic, Nathan.
Pumpkin cold brew, let's say.
Oh, like, that's a good one.
That's a little bit more unique, you know? It's good. You know, you don't see something like this all the time, but when it's here, you're like, fuck yeah, that's awesome.
You know, like 4 years ago, I think I ordered like an iced coffee and a Trenta, and they're like, we can't do that. And so I've never done it again. Because they're like, you can only do Trenta with like teas.
I've never had like a Trenta before. It's always venti.
Yeah, yeah.
For me. But yeah, this is like really cool. I definitely recommend. I recommend this to like anybody, I think. Like, I think.
Yeah.
Well, someone that's looking for like a horror book, I think this is like a very accessible thing.
Sure.
I would probably. I think like Sophie would be really interested in like that second issue too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
like
good.
Like Fiona and all that. Like, I think that'd be a good one, like, to show her. Or maybe she'll just think I'm weird. I don't know.
Maybe. But like, yeah, when really... I think of, like, horror things and, like, recommending them to, like, horror fans, I almost feel like it's hard to recommend, like, a horror book because, like, there's no, like, jump scares in books. You know what I mean? So it's not to be fans of, like, creepy ideas.
Yeah. There's still a lot of very creative ideas that come out of this. So
right. I give it a love it with... You know, all the good toppings, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got some M&M's, some Reese's. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm starting to say that wrong. sprinkles, you know, some chocolate drizzle, you know?
It's the pumpkin Reese's, though.
Pumpkin Reese's. Yeah, the pumpkin Reese's.
The pumpkin-shaped Reese's. It's a different flavor.
I have those in my freezer. They're awesome. it's super different. I think my favorite one was, like, the Kelly Thompson one. That, like, really stands out from the rest of them. Because the rest of them, I think, are on, like, the same level of, like, quality, I think.
I think so.
I think has a little bit more story to it. But as far as like how satisfying they were all just kind of felt like the one shot thing kind of hurt it the same way that any one shot would kind of be hurt just because of how limited you are.
Yeah.
But they did good. I just kind of expected more, I guess.
I think my favorite one is probably the last one, the Michael Walsh one.
Yeah, the closure with that was really cool.
Just because you could tell that he knows what ideas he wanted to put on the page with like the goat and like Martha turning into a big bubbly mess and
what
all that.
What if this is all like a quiz for his writer friends? He's like, all right, make something about the silver coin. And then the fifth one, he's like, nope, you got it wrong. this is what it's about.
Yeah. But like, he does a really good job like wrapping up this trade in like a satisfying way, but also like, give me more of this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that a lot. But yeah, the Kelly Thompson one, I think, is probably my second. But like, they're all so good, you know?
Yeah, the art really brings it all together too. Like that.
It's such a nice way to keep like a consistent feel. Like, I don't know why this idea isn't more popular.
Yeah, I know. This should happen more often.
Yeah.
I think you just see too often is like writers being on a run and then
they have
time
alternating artists.
A ton of artists. Yeah. But this is like really cool.
Yeah. I like this a lot.
And I don't know if I've ever seen or read anything that was Walsh's writing, but he's like pretty killer.
Yeah, I think I've mainly seen this. The only other work I've seen him in is the Black Hammer Justice League crossover. That was Michael Walsh.
Writing?
Art.
Dude, he did fucking The Vision.
Oh, that's true.
Get the fuck out of
here. Yeah, you're right.
Vision, you know that.
And I think The Vision,
Eisner
I think
Award
Walter.
Winning run?
Yeah, I think Walter, but he was just on there first. But yeah, Walsh was definitely on there.
Wait.
He's very good, too.
Am I mixing up Walter and Walsh?
No, they were both on there, I think.
I don't think that's right.
It was definitely Walter on there, but I want to say Walsh was on there for a couple of years.
Gabriel Walter. Right, my bad. That's my bad.
No, I think you're right. Like,
I don't think I am. Oh, I'm embarrassed. He's on Vision number 7 because I see a page on his website. I guess he did some Hawkeye.
It shows it here. Tom King, Michael Walsh, Gabriel Hernandez Walter.
Oh, they're both on it. That's confusing.
You were right, but you...
I didn't know I was right.
You were wrong in the way that you thought about it, but what you said was right.
Correct.
You did the wrong math
formula. That never happens for me.
You did the wrong math formula, but got the right answer.
Yep.
That's what you just did.
Uh-huh. That's funny.
Yeah. It's just really good in that issue, too.
Of what?
Of the Vision. You did the one that starts off with him and with Vision and Scarlet Witch in bed together because they fucked.
Yeah, they got dirty.
Yeah, they did. It was...
She got that Robo Duke.
Yeah, this dude, Michael Walsh, is great. So yeah, very good. Very good book. Check it out.
Definitely. Anyway.
So let's go into the pull list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
Yes, sir.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box? What'd you pick up this week, Nathan? Have you had time to go to the comic shop?
You know what? I did go to the comic shop.
Wow.
And
you were late here, but you had time to go to the comic shop?
It's Thursday today.
I know.
I went yesterday.
Okay.
So I actually went to a new comic shop this week.
Really?
The one that's going to be closest when I move into my new place. It's called Collector's Choice Comics.
Where's that?
It's by the like Dollar Theater.
Oh.
In Tempe.
Yeah, on like Warner.
Yeah, it'll be like a couple miles from where I live, but still fairly close.
Where are you moving again?
Awatuki.
Oh, right.
So this place is interesting. It wasn't like the most like aesthetically pleasing place because it's like it looks like you just walked in and they had just like... It looked like a pop-up shop. Like, they had, like, 10 minutes to set up a comic shop, and, like, that's what it was.
It wasn't, like, one of those shops where it has, like, clearly too much shit?
Not even that, but they had like the fold out tables and like they didn't have anything over it. And that's where like the normal like back issue comics were. They had like a solid like new week comic thing, whatever. So I picked up some new books releases from when I was not picking up comics because I was busy. So I picked up like Batman the Imposter and stuff like that from Andrea Sorrentino.
Yeah.
This week, the new stuff I picked up was Bermuda 2 and Bermuda 4 because I missed number 2, but I have 3.
Okay.
And then 4 came out this week.
Right, same.
And then I picked up Batman Catwoman.
Batcat.
Another Liam Sharp issue. I thought he was only on it for one issue, but he's on it for 2.
What is that, number 9?
8.
Okay.
Yeah. So Liam Sharp is on it, which is really cool. And what's crazy is that he's also got a different Batman book coming out, which is the Batman Reptilian. And
yeah,
the art styles are just totally different.
That's,
you know,
cool.
You know, you could tell that like he's really doing what he wants to do with like Batman Reptilian, getting really weird and like painting it himself and doing all that shit. And then in the Tom King run, it's like more traditionally like done and like very defined and very detailed, which is,
yeah, that's cool that he's kind of got like almost like an accent for each thing.
And it's crazy to think that he's doing two different, like the books, there's two different Batman books coming out that he's like on, and they're drastically different.
Nice.
So it's very cool. I like Liam Sharp a lot.
Love an artist with some range.
Yeah. So I picked that up, and then I think I picked up one more thing. I think I picked up like Dark Ages number 2. But yeah.
Okay.
Just a couple different things.
I got High Republic 10.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't actually go, but High Republic number 10. And I think there's some sort of like Halloween special issue for Star Wars The High Republic. I saw it on Fresh Comics or Fresh Issues.
Sure.
But I'm not sure if it's real or whatever. Because who knows that app?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
Nice.
Did you read or watch anything new this week?
I didn't read anything new. I've been very busy. I'm moving and then been doing some best man stuff. My best friend's getting married like in a couple days.
Uh-huh.
So I've been very busy with that and moving. But I did watch just a couple episodes of Why the Last Man, like catching up on that.
Mm-hmm.
That show's good. I'm sad they got canceled.
Yeah, it's...
But it's still like an exciting show. Like, I like it a lot.
I think we predicted pretty well like how far the show is going to go, as far as like
it seems like
it's getting into the second trade territory,
which is
like
what,
right now.
Yeah, it
I'm
seems
like nice.
That's, it seems like that's where it's going to go. Are you like caught up with it?
Yeah,
because I'm like still 3 episodes behind. But
really? Oh, okay.
It seems like
spoilers. Sorry,
but like we already and spoilers. But like we already see Dr. Man, which was like at the very end of like the first trade, and that's like halfway through the season.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, and they're being pretty true to it, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
And I just have to pick up the rest of it because I just need to know how it ends.
Yeah, and all the additional characters that they added for the show are also very interesting.
Yeah, it's mostly just like Hero's friends that I've noticed, and then that one girl who used to like work PR for the president or something.
A blonde chick?
No, she's a redhead.
Oh, yeah, her.
Yeah. And
she's good.
So I think that's about it. And then just kind of like very minimal side characters where you don't really know their name.
I hate that blonde chick.
In the White House?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the worst.
She's
new too, yeah.
I love how much I hate her.
you gotta have like some characters that you hate, and I think that gives like a really diverse show.
She's a really good one to hate.
Like I hated like fucking half the people in Game of Thrones. But I fucking love that show.
True. But other than that, I don't think I watched anything else in particular.
Okay. I watched the new season of You. It came out.
All of it?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Pretty good. I think this is like the weakest season personally. It pulls a lot from the second season, so like I wouldn't necessarily tell you what happened.
He's got a kid, Daniel.
He's got a kid now. Yeah,
he's a full-on Dexter now.
Yeah. He pulls a Dexter too, but anyway,
like I don't want to fuck up this kid. I want the best for my kid, but I'm still a bad guy.
Yeah, it's like the whole thing. He keeps saying that he's not a bad guy. I'm like, but
he killed people.
Yeah, it was still a good season. It was like definitely had a lot more energy and a lot more things happening each episode, but still really good. Really well put together.
Cool.
And then I watched all of Squid Game.
Oh, I've been watching a couple episodes of Squid Game. I haven't finished it yet.
Okay. What episode are you on now? Do you know?
The one, I'm still kind of early on, I guess, but the one right after the cookie thing. He's looking a cookie.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if it's going to work, but okay.
Yeah.
Dude, I saw some dude do that game, and he had the circle, right?
Yeah.
He just, like, dropped it on the ground, and then all the pieces around it broke off.
Dude, can you imagine if someone did that in the show?
Oh, dude, people would be so fucking triggered.
Watch this bitch, and then
what if someone was, like, an expert at it and waited until, like, the last, like, 30 seconds?
Yeah.
And just, like, mic dropped it, and then it just, like, was perfect?
It's very good, though.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's do you watch the dubs?
Yes, unfortunately.
Those get kind of like annoying. So we're switching back and forward between that and you.
I wanna switch out of the dub version because like I'm fine with reading, but I'm also fine with dub as well. Like it doesn't bother me that much, but like the voice acting is like so bad.
Yeah, I mean like most of the time it's fine.
But
when he gets like heated or something, it gets like super cringe.
And like the old guy is voice acted by what seems like a young guy trying to sound old. And it's sure. Like just get an old guy to sound normal, you know? Or like,
yeah,
the fucking crazy bitch.
Oh, she's the fucking worst. Dude,
it is. All of those scenes are awful. Like I'd rather just read it, you know?
Yeah, so, but it's still, even if you got it in, like, Korean, like, it might still be, like, an annoying voice.
Even still, but, like, I'd rather just, like, not hear what she's saying, because it's, like, it's very, like, overdramatic. And I think that that's just, like, how, like, that's just, like, written, typically. Like,
yeah, she's supposed to be an annoying character.
Very overdramatic, yeah, and very annoying. But, yeah, the show is very, it's good.
I like it a lot. It's very intense. I like it a lot.
And the cookie thing, apparently a lot of boba places are like doing that right now.
Yeah.
So you could do it yourself. And
I feel like just like,
I feel like I would be
digging into it would be like the best way to go. Cause they're like slightly scraping.
Yeah.
I'm
you're
like,
grinding.
No, just like dig into it.
I feel like I'd be really good at it.
I wouldn't do like the umbrella or anything, but like I could probably do the star.
Oh, I could do the umbrella easy without licking.
And then I was thinking the triangle. I'm like, oh, just fucking break it.
Yeah, that's easy. But it's like a chip.
That might not be like the way to go either.
Yeah.
Because it could, you don't know how it's going to break.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that? I saw like a meme where on the main character's cookie, it just looked like a pussy. And then he's like licking into it like super fast. And I thought that shit was so funny.
That's so dumb.
It's like the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But he's like, oh, and then he's like very into the licking that he does in that episode. So
I guess that was just kind of like obvious, you know?
Yeah, that's like an obvious joke. Like but
that,
I like
that's an easy one.
Yeah, super funny.
I like how successful it was, even though it like took a long time to get into production.
Yeah, apparently it took like a couple years for the show to like actually be shot.
I think you wrote it in like 2008.
Yeah, so good for him.
The aesthetics are like really cool. Like the environments are really well done.
It feels realistic, you know?
Yeah.
It feels like some organization with just enough money could have made something like this work so far from what I've seen.
Right.
Like obviously the technology from like the red light, green light, like cameras locking in on people, like, but I feel like the environment, it doesn't feel like
hard to make.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it's like a big X-Men room with like shit happening or like,
yeah,
or like a Maze Runner. Like it feels like somebody could have built that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I like that a lot.
And just like the stairs would probably be the hardest part.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal with the stairs are. Just make normal stairs. But I like just all the storylines that people have put up. Like there's the main guy, there's Sung-woo, I think, who's like a big businessman and crazy in debt. And then like the cop, very interesting. And they just do good with like fleshing out the storylines that answer questions about the show and like create more questions. And they just have like very good characters. So I'm glad that like something like this is popular because there's probably more out there.
Yeah. There's a bit of like plot armor, like spoilers,
for sure.
I think it'd be more fun if it was like, you kind of learned about like 10 different people or something and they all have like the same level of like exposure. And then you kind of, you know, favor some people and then just like, I know where they just like die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like, oh, that fucking sucks. So, cause like, it's obviously all on like whatever the dude's name is. I don't remember it.
Yeah.
But, cause then it'd be like kind of shocking.
Yeah,
like,
true.
But that's just me.
I also like that it's an idea that everybody can kind of get behind.
Yeah. I'd be like, I'd do that. I could do that.
I would do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the things I'm like, oh, that's easy. But like
under that amount of pressure might be a little bit tough.
Right. What was the last game that you saw? It was just the cookie thing,
right? Just the cookie one.
I think that's the second one.
Yeah, like I know a couple of the other games, but I don't think I know all of them.
Yeah, some of them like, oh, fuck, that'd probably be like the one that gets me, you know?
Yeah.
You'll see. Anyway, good shit. I like it.
Yeah. What else did you watch?
I also started Doom Patrol Season 3.
Nice.
The first episode is like kind of odd because it just really like wraps up like the Season 2 finale, like the cliffhanger that was left. It does it like super fucking quick. Which is like weird. I feel like it almost should have been the last episode of last season. But yeah, it's very the same.
Nice.
So I like that. And I also read We Have Demons. That
Oh, nice. Yeah, I read that as well.
Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder thing. I know you said you weren't going to like keep going with it, but I actually like it a lot. It was super dense.
It is,
but
yeah.
But I liked the concept a lot.
Yeah. I think it fits really well in like a comiXology format as well. I think I said that last time, but like it seems very natural for as like a digital comic, I guess.
I kind of had to read it in the guided view because like there's so many words and it's just like annoying to like squint or like zoom in.
But I'm gonna try and read Clear and the Francesco Francavilla one this week
Night
as well.
Night of the Ghoul or something
Night
like that.
Night of the Ghoul, yeah, because both of those came out.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm excited about those.
For sure. I think I'll keep going with We Have Demons because I think after this first one and all that setup, the rest of them should be like a little bit smoother, I think. So I hope the other ones aren't as dense because I think Scott Snyder really wants to write books, you know?
Yeah.
But with pictures.
Yeah.
He likes prose. I don't know what that is, but that's like basically just big clumps of words in my mind. You know, not just like captions.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
Word bubbles.
I feel like with the other ones, he'll probably let up a little bit on how crazy and like wordy he gets.
Yeah.
With We Have Demons, there's like a lot of big concepts going on there and a lot of
characters.
Yeah,
he's like introducing like new elements and stuff like that, which it makes sense. Like it took a second to like understand it all, but like it was enough to where I'm like, that's cool. I like that.
But just that whole Batman like creative team is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. It was great to see like Greg Capullo like drawing like new characters.
Yeah.
Like I love the way he draws faces
and, like,
for some reason.
And Jonathan Glapion is like the anchor.
It's perfect
like,
for him. They're like they're probably just like best friends.
Yeah, they could fuse in like the same person. Like at this point, they're just like they work off each other so well.
And I've seen like some of his pencils, and I'm like, how the fuck do you get anything out of this?
I don't know. Yeah,
because it's not like definite lines. I'm like, oh, that's what you do. Because like you think like inking is just like tracing almost, but like no, that dude like has to figure out what he's trying to do here.
Yeah, he's cool too. I met him,
Jonathan Glapion.
Glapion. Yeah.
Glapion. That's cool. Yeah, he was at Comic-Con.
Yeah, he was.
That whole team was that one year.
Yeah, but you had to get in line to meet Greg and Scott. But I don't think people are like, I want to meet the inker. You know?
Yeah, I mean, like, so, if, like you're gonna, if you're going to meet both of them, might as well meet like that whole team, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, so we're just going to get into the next week's book.
Yeah.
What are we going to read next week? We got Gideon Falls to conclude our spooky month.
Exactly. By Jeff Lemire.
Jeff Lemire.
Andrea Sorrentino.
Yeah, Speak of the Devil.
Speak of the Devil. Yep.
We were just talking
about
them.
They got a big old book that they're going to announce pretty soon here, so.
Yeah.
It's very fitting.
Very fitting.
Push this one to last.
What a quinky dink.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's the show then.
Yes, it is.
Alrighty.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you listened to this far, if you want to send us a nice little message or ask us a question or tell us that we're dumb.
Tell us what to read.
Tell us what to read, too. You can email us at tradewearerspod@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter at tradewearerspod. I'm at Twitter at more like Nate Thick individually.
Dan and Tividad on Twitter. We're also on TikTok at TradeWaiters.
Yes.
I was going to
give us a bit of a follow there. I think we got some big ideas coming up.
Give us a like, give us a follow.
And have a good day.
Have a good day. All right, goodbye.